Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming. So today I'm going to be talking about the daily light integral, and I'm sure most of you in here know what that is, but this is just the total amount of photosynthetically active light that plants receive during the course of a day. So daily light integral is important for greenhouse production because currently recommendations for the amount of light that plants should receive are made in terms of the daily light integral. And it's useful because it relates to overall plant growth. And currently recommendations are made in terms of crop-specific daily light integrals that should be received for ideal production. And here's just an example of a few of those for some ornamental crops. The daily light integral also varies by location and time of year. Some maps here just showing the average daily light integrals for different times of year at different locations in the U.S. So on the topic of DLI control, so what I mean here is controlling supplemental lights in a greenhouse in order to achieve some kind of target or desired daily light integral. The first example that I know of this, the first published example, was in 1994 by Carrier, Gosselin, and Gauthier. And so this system was made specifically for on-off control of high-intensity discharge lamps for tomato production. And it incorporates a weather forecast to anticipate the daily light intensities that will be received from sunlight. So a slightly later and more well-known example of DLI control is a system developed at Cornell University, first published in 2000, that has since been come to be known as LASSI, which stands for Light and Shade System Implementation. One of the hallmark features of LASSI is that it does not use a weather forecast, so the algorithm anticipates future light intensities without streaming in a forecast from an external source. It was designed for use with high-pressure sodium lamps with movable shades, and the idea is to maintain a consistent daily light integral of 17 moles per meter square per day. This target comes from some earlier research where they found that this is the maximum daily light integral that should be used to guarantee sufficient growth without causing too much tip burn for one specific lettuce cultivar. And this is a picture of a lettuce plant exhibiting signs of tip burn. It's dying off of the leaf tips and margins. So LASSI does a pretty good job of achieving its goal of maintaining a consistent daily light integral of 17 moles per meter square per day. Here's some graphs from the original publication. This is just the daily light integral over the course of the year, simulated control strategies for 3 years in New York and one in New Jersey. So it's not too bad. So nowadays we have light-emitting diodes, and there's a lot of great things about light-emitting diodes, like the ability to change the spectrum, the relatively high energy efficiency. But what I've focused on primarily in my work and what we'll be focusing on today is the dimmability of light-emitting diodes. We can control their light output instantaneously and precisely in real time. Now, if we take a dimmable LED light fixture and interface it with a quantum sensor to measure the amount of photosynthetically active light in some kind of control system, we get what we call an adaptive lighting control system. So we can provide light from the LEDs up to some target light intensity, PPFD, based on an equation or a preset value. And we can achieve control trajectories such as this, where the dashed line represents light from the LEDs, the solid line is light from sunlight, and in both cases we've reached a target daily light integral of 17 moles per meter square per day in an allowed photo period of either 12 or 21 hours. And so to keep in the tradition of giving these types of things catchy names, we're calling our system WAVY, which stands for Weaver and Van Eersel. And our control system for daily light integral control with LED lights is shares some similarities with LASSI, and I would like to go over what is similar and what is different very quickly. So LASSI does not require a solar forecast. No weather forecast is needed. And this is also not needed with WAVY. And so how does this work? Well, if we go to the original LASSI publication, they presented these graphs. And so the approximately bell-shaped curve represents an idealized PPFD over the course of the day. This is a product of the sun rising and setting. And the sigmoidal curve is the integrated PPFD over the course of the day. So at the very end of the day, that would be your final daily light integral, but you can think of it as the kind of running daily light integral over the course of the day. So the Lassie algorithm uses equations based on these curves and the amount of light received so far to anticipate light levels. Wavy takes a somewhat simpler and more abstract approach. So here is 1 week of daily light integral data from the greenhouse. You can see it does accumulate in an approximately sigmoidal manner, just as the graphs from the original Lassie paper showed. And if we normalize all these to percent of maximum, you can see it's a very nicely sigmoidal-shaped curve. And this brings us to the first assumption of Wavy, which is that daily light integral increases in a roughly quadratic manner from sunrise until solar noon. Okay? And this is all we assume. We don't try to anticipate exactly how much at any time step. Okay, so if we look at PPFD over the course of these 7 days, it's quite a bit messier. It definitely does not look like this nice bell curve from the Lassie publication, even if we standardize it to percent of maximum. We don't have a nice curved line here. But that's okay, because the second assumption of Wavy is just that the PPFDs from before and after solar noon for any given day are approximately symmetrically distributed. Okay, so we don't make any assumptions about the shape, just that there's some symmetry before and after solar noon. So, back to comparing the two systems. Lassie uses on and off control of high pressure sodium lights. Wavy uses dimmable light emitting diodes. With Lassie, there are movable shades. With Wavy, we're not using any shades whatsoever. The goal of Lassie is to maintain a consistent daily light integral of 17 micromoles per meter squared per day, or whatever else the target may be. The original one was 17, using both the lights and the shades. In our approach, we would like to reach a minimum required daily light integral. We're also going with 17 moles, and we would also like to not apply any supplemental light whatsoever if sunlight alone exceeds this. So we're considering exceeding the target daily light integral from sunlight to basically be free photosynthesis. We don't want to shade that. We just don't want to apply any additional if sunlight is going to reach or exceed that on its own. Okay? So part of the Lassie control logic is also to delay as much supplemental lighting as possible until after sunset, and Wavy accomplishes this as well. Part of the reasoning in this is that electricity prices, if real-time pricing is available, are likely to be lower at night. Okay? So both systems are a case of rule-based hierarchical control. Lassie has 8 primary rules and also requires hourly tests and decisions. Wavy uses 3 if-then statements and 3 equations, and that's it. Lassie also has monthly and seasonal adjustments to the rules, and in later iterations there are also location-specific adjustments, tunings. Wavy doesn't use any of this. The equations are the same regardless of time of year or location. So, to give you a brief overview of the algorithm, and this, of course, is not a complete picture, but beginning 1 hour after sunrise, before solar noon, we calculate some threshold PPFD and then scale it proportionally to the time remaining before solar noon. And the variables for real-time control that go into this are the time remaining in the photoperiod, the current integral of PPFD, and the time remaining before solar noon. After solar noon, we calculate a threshold PPFD, and which requires the time remaining in the photoperiod and the current integral of PPFD. And if this is higher than the maximum PPFD output of the LEDs being used, we calculate a higher threshold PPFD proportional to that difference. And then we use adaptive lighting control to provide light up to but not exceeding whatever this calculated threshold is, whichever of these three. Okay, so we conducted simulations in MATLAB using a custom script that I wrote, and this is what it looks like. It's about 100 lines of code. Most of it's necessary to replicate real-time streaming data. To implement this in real-time would only take about 10 lines of code. We applied it to typical meteorological year data for 5 locations: Athens, Georgia, Kalamazoo, Michigan, Seattle, Washington, Elmira, New York, and Yuma, Arizona, with 6, 18, 20, 22, and 24-hour photoperiods, and assumed their lights had a maximum PPFD output of 200 micromoles per meter squared per second. And again, we are reaching a target minimum daily light integral of 17 moles per meter squared per day. So let's look at some results. How well does it work? So here is applying the algorithm to Athens, Georgia, with a 16-hour photoperiod. Now, if you look here around this line that just popped up, these X's, the X's are right on this line. This means the control was perfect. It reached the 17-mole target. No excess light was provided on days where it wasn't needed. Now, days like this where you see a blue X above that line, that means we provided some some excess supplemental light when sunlight alone was enough. So the algorithm failed to some extent. So here is a snapshot of a day on which this happened, the gray-filled area of sunlight alone. And you can see during the early part of the day, we were applying some LED light when it wasn't needed. And this is because the day is not nearly as symmetrically distributed as we are assuming. Okay? Now, on other days, not enough supplemental light was provided. We didn't reach the target. And this is simply because doing so and not starting earlier in the day was beyond the light capacity of these LEDs. So with Athens, Georgia, as we go out to a 20-hour photo period, the control gets somewhat better. And at a 24-hour photo period, it's pretty perfect. Kalamazoo, Michigan, with a 20-hour photo period, we have many days falling below the target. And with a 24-hour photo period, it's a lot better. Similar for Seattle, many days with a 20-hour photo period are still below the target daily light integral, and some excess light was provided, but it's pretty much fixed when we extend that photo period to 24 hours, and pretty much the same for Elmira, New York. Yuma, Arizona, everything was already pretty good with a 16-hour photo period. You can see by there's a whole lot fewer blue X's in general, so there just was less supplemental light needed at this location because the lighting conditions are generally brighter. And with a 22-hour photo period for Yuma, things looked really good. So I want to look at one more example. Returning to Kalamazoo, Michigan, with an 18-hour photo period, the control is pretty bad. We have excess light being applied on several days and several days where the target is not reached. Okay, so again, this is with a 200 micromole per meter square maximum output of the LEDs. If we increase this to 400 and keep the same photo period, so we allow the LEDs to be twice as bright, that fixes the problems for the most part, except for one day with a tiny bit of excess light while maintaining an 18-hour photo period. So in conclusion, the way the algorithm is effective at reaching a target minimum daily light integral and avoiding applying excess supplemental light, performance is improved by extending the photo period or increasing the maximum light output of the LEDs being used. And the algorithm is computationally simple, requires only a few lines of code to implement in real time. And simulations like these can help growers decide on an ideal installed lighting capacity. They can weigh the benefits of always being able to reach their target daily light integral versus the initial installation cost of putting in the light, so it would be required to do so. And with that, I'd like to thank USDA NEPA grant, Lighting Approaches to Maximize Profits. And I'll be happy to take any questions. Good.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I can see how this work would may be useful to suggest crops like tomato, that I like loving. Now, you're going back to your initial example on lettuce, right? So we know that deep burn is probably not caused because of the DLI, right? It's most likely to the higher levels of intensity throughout the day. Do you foresee any issues with deep burn with this approach, even though you're trying to maintain to 17 versus the LASI approach with the shading to prevent those spikes in light intensity?
The question is, in a nutshell, with this approach, without shading, would I anticipate more tip burn in lettuce? The answer is yes, because the tip burn is really related to the total overall growth rate on each day. Shading in the case of lettuce cultivars that are susceptible to tip burn, shading is worth including to prevent excess growth and tip burn on days where sunlight exceeds the target DLI.
Can you incorporate that within your model, the shading?
Second question was, can I incorporate shading within the model? The answer is yes, but it will take a little bit of work because we cannot shade across a gradient. Shade is either closed or open, so the control won't be as precise. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Your integration period is a day. Did you consider a longer integration period, in particular if on day one you exceed your threshold? I would say then the next day maybe you have less time.
Yes, the question is, did we consider a multi-day integration period? The answer is yes. It's just coming up with rules of how to integrate the 3 days is kind of a judgment call. Like, how much do you carry over from one day to the next, et cetera, et cetera. But we can use 3 day averages and show somewhat better operation. I prefer to keep it on the 24 hour basis to show how well it can operate in real time. Go ahead.
How difficult is to integrate this with the forecast weather?
The question is, how difficult would it be to integrate this with a weather forecast? I don't think it would be difficult, and really a very crude weather forecast would help resolve the two main problems that it's having. For example, if it is going to be a lot sunnier in the afternoon, you'll probably know that from a weather forecast. Or if it's going to be raining all day, you could go ahead and have the lights on from the very beginning of the photo period.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.